Jack Riccardi.
9 to 1.
550. KTSA.
Good morning, San Antonio. Adam McManus guest hosting for Jack Riccardi today, 9 to 1. Coming up at 9:20, Professor Walter Williams, a great conservative who has guest hosted for Rush Limbaugh, has a new column out today, Concentration of Power, Hitler, Mao, Obama. What a provocative headline is that. Then at 10 o'clock, Eric Pratt, my guest, Gun Owners of America, the group, about this crazy idea from our Attorney General, Eric Holder, that gun owners should be required to wear bracelets in order to activate their firearms. Is this an infringement on the Second Amendment, is the question. At 11 o'clock, Terry Hall, but not the Terry Hall that you know, not the woman who opposes tolls on all of our highways. No, the Terry Hall who is a mother of 9 children, who is a stay-at-home mother, as she reflects on a new piece out on the Wall Street in the Wall Street Journal today entitled More Moms Staying Home, Reversing Decades-Long Decline. But first, this crazy story about a nursing home where the staff literally hires striptease dancers. Bernice Youngblood, 85, slips a dollar bill into the briefs of a stripper hired to perform at her Long Island, New York nursing home in a picture that was discovered by her son to his horror. Elderly residents of that Long Island nursing home saw their shuffleboards replaced by washboard abs when they were subjected to a low-rent Chippendale striptease in the facility's rec room, according to a new lawsuit. Bernice Youngblood was shocked when she was there, and there was this man dancing in his briefs, virtually nude, in the East Neck Nursing Center in West Babylon, appropriately named, I guess, looking on with a mix of shock and delight were other residents as the dancers bumped and ground for their amusement. Youngblood's family immediately expressed their outrage to the staff, but were ignored, according to the lawsuit. Plaintiff Bernice Youngblood, from the lawsuit, says was placed in apprehension of imminent offensive physical harm as she was confused and bewildered as to why a muscular, almost nude man was approaching her and placing his body and limbs over her, says the lawsuit. Family attorneys said that Franklin Youngblood, her son, found the offensive photograph among her belongings during a January visit. The irate son confronted a nurse, but the staffer lunged at him, tried to snatch the picture away. I guess they knew that not everything was copacetic there. A nurse later told another of the victim's sons that the strip show was an entertainment event, quote-unquote, for the patients, and was done in, quote, good faith, unquote. How on earth can that nurse maintain a straight face when she makes that claim? This was an entertainment event for the patients and was done in good faith. The lawsuit contends hiring male strippers to perform for the defendant's nursing home patients was a serial occurrence, not a singular event, but an ongoing event. Youngblood's family also asked why his mother was holding dollar bills in her hand when her cash was supposed to be kept under lock and key in a commissary account. I love this particular line from the lawsuit. The vile incident was done, quote, all for the perverse pleasure and enjoyment of the defendant's staff, unquote, the suit claims. And I think that's probably a lot closer to the truth than saying it was done for the patients in good faith. No 85-year-old woman is particularly interested in that. And I think, as her son Franklin rightly notes, this is a great departure from her having grown up as a traditional Baptist, hardworking lady, and now she has been defiled. My question to you is whether or not you think someone at the nursing home should be fired, or do you think they should be promoted and given a bonus? Because this is a great idea. 599-5555, our number. That's 599-5555. If you found out your mother or your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, or an aunt or an uncle was in a nursing home with strippers that came in, whether they be male or female, and you're paying good money for their care, would you feel, A, betrayed as their custodial relative, and B, do you think that the good faith that you had in the nursing home was violated by such an instance? Give me a call here on the Jack Riccardi Show with Adam McManus at 599-5555. 599-5555. What would be your first reaction? Would you commend them? Would you object? Would you sue them? Do you think they should be suspended? Those that made the decision, fired? Publicly apologize? I have, in my years, as a young man, volunteered at nursing homes and played my clarinet in various rooms, and during Christmas season played Christmas carols. And I remember, you know, a variety of responses. Some of them were more attentive, some less. Some seemed to be pretty doped up. Some really longed for a sense of connection. Perhaps their family didn't visit them on a regular basis or at all. And I think it was something that they welcomed, that kind of connection. Some others volunteer and bring in dogs in particular, like Labradors or Golden Retrievers. And the employees, residents of the nursing home feel connected, feel, you know, a sense of affirmation by being able to pet the animals and interact with them and coo over them. I know when I've brought my young children, Honor, who's 4, and Mercy, who's 2, into that kind of setting, they just go gaga. I mean, they're just cooing and eyes brightening up and smiles coming across their faces. I think this is a serious violation of the good faith that those who have placed their elderly parents or relatives indeed have put in the nursing home. Let's take some calls at 599-5555. Caroline, you're up first on the Jack Riccardi Show with Adam McManus.
Hello, Adam. I am an older lady, and I want to tell you that if I were in a nursing home, and if I were not, you know, senile to the point that I couldn't understand, you know, like what was going on, I would enjoy it. I'd rather have that than a little boy playing a clarinet, quite honestly. And I think I know lots of older ladies who still enjoy going to shows like that. So, unless the people didn't know what was going on around them or something, I can't see that it's necessarily a bad thing. And the way I would make my decision is I would discuss it with my person I had in there. And if they had a good time, you know, if they talked the nurses into letting them have a few dollar bills to play the game, you know, what difference does it make, you know?
How old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
How old am I?
Yes.
I'm in my 60s.
You're in your 60s.
I am.
I think there's a big difference, though, between ladies of any age going to a venue where the Chippendale male strippers are performing because they're paying a cover fee, they're going in, they know what they're getting when they go there. Whereas a nursing home, this is their place of residence, this is their home, and this was not something where, you know, it was in an optional area where only those who had signed up to participate with the support of their family were able to participate. And this is just kind of, for lack of a better word, thrust upon these senior citizens in the nursing home there in Long Island, New York. And I think that's where I draw the line. Do you see where I'm coming from?
I see what you're saying, but you would need to really know that for sure. I just can't imagine that they forced everyone to do that. I would think if some lady said, "Oh my goodness, no, I wouldn't want to see that." You know, I can't believe they just forced them to. And I just think that the majority of the ladies who were still, you know, had a sound mind, I think would probably enjoy it, especially some lady who was raised Baptist and very strict all her life about everything. You know, I've discovered as I've aged that I don't really care what people think anymore, and I just like to enjoy myself. You know, if you're in a nursing home and you sit day after day after day, and the most exciting thing that ever happens is maybe a domino game, I think it would be exciting.
Well, I understand the need for stimulation. I mean, but don't you think this? Don't you think that the symphony is a better venue, or someone coming in to perform, you know, guitar or sing songs?
Do I think so? No, I don't.
Wow. I'd love to know what other people have to say about this. Thank you so much for your call. Great to hear from you, Caroline. Phone number 599-5555. 599-5555. We've got one lady in her 60s weighing in favor of a low-rent Chippendale-style striptease in a nursing home facility. Doesn't seem to think that's a problem at all, and it might actually be a good thing. I sympathize with Franklin Youngblood, the son of Bernice Youngblood, the 85-year-old woman who had a picture of her putting dollar bills into the waistband of this particular dancer. I'm surprised that Caroline is our first call on this, and I'd love to hear from other ladies in particular, whether you happen to be older or not. Give me a call, 599-5555. Let's go to one call in particular here before we take a break. Who do we have, Taylor? Give me someone. Yeah, you have a name? Just give me a name of somebody. Because I'd love to sneak in a quick call before we go to Liz. All right, Charlie checking in. Hi, Charlie. You're next up on 550 KTSA with Adam McManus.
Hey, yeah, I worked in retirement homes, they call them. And they don't just bring people in there and throw them in a room and put people in there. They advertise it, and they have flyers up all over saying this is what they're going to do. And people, if you can't read it, don't go. Or, you know, you read it and you don't like it, don't go. Just like the smoking in bars and strip clubs that are all over town.
You see it as a very kind of libertarian issue.
Yes. I mean, you know, they do not just take strippers and put them in there. Activity day is once or twice a week, and they're going to put signs.
All right. Thank you for your call. Paul up next. You're on 550 KTSA with Adam McManus.
Yes, sir, Mr. McManus. My comment is, it's like a doctor telling a 90-year-old person you can't smoke anymore. You know, they're already at the end of their life. I'm like, why not just let them have fun? You know, and just.
But is this the definition of fun? I mean, for those of us who are younger, I happen to be 47. I think it's something that's actually immoral. The only person that should be half naked or fully naked is your marital partner, your spouse.
Well, maybe they don't have a partner, but it's each is his own.
All right,
if they enjoy it.
To each his
might
own.
Might as well let them enjoy themselves.
Yeah, and that's the problem with America. People like you who say to each his own. Sharon, up next, you're on 550 KTSA with Adam McManus. Hi.
I am rarely speechless, but I almost am. Those people are nuts. Both of my parents live in an assisted living facility. They will take them to entertainment just to get them out of their room. If they ever took my parents to that type of quote-unquote entertainment, they'd be out of there the next day.
So you would be morally outraged.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I would say that I would feel betrayed, and I would feel my adult, my senior citizen parents or relatives would have been betrayed.
Disrespectful.
Yes.
That amazes me that anyone could go along with that.
Sharon, we've had like three callers. You're the fourth, and you're the lone voice of sanity so far.
I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. All right, Randy, you're going to wrap it up for us today on 550 KTSA.
Hey, Adam. It's good to talk to you again.
Yes, sir.
You know, my concern for America is the moral decline that I'm seeing, you know, more and more day after day. And, you know, yeah, I would be outraged.
What would you suggest should happen to the nursing home staff that made this decision? Should they be suspended? Should they be fired? Should they publicly apologize? Some combination of the above?
You know, I would say at least a public apology at the very least. You know, if it was up to me, of course, you know, I would definitely, you know, reprimand them in some way.
All right. Thank you for your call. Coming up next, we've got Professor Walter Williams about his provocative column entitled Concentration of Power, Hitler, Mao, Obama. That's up next here at 922 on 550 KTSA. Adam McManus in for Jack Riccardi till 1 o'clock today. Learn more about me and send me an email throughout the broadcast at adammcmanus.net, MCManus.net. Coming up at 9:40, we'll talk about former GOP Senator Alan Simpson, who's backing homosexual marriage in a new six-figure ad buy. Perhaps you've already seen it. And at 10 o'clock, Eric Pratt of Gun Owners of America about Attorney General Eric Holder's proposal for gun owners to be required to wear bracelets that would initiate the ability to use those firearms. Oh, brother. But joining us now by telephone line, Professor Walter Williams. You know him. You love him. He is an occasional guest host for Rush Limbaugh. He's a professor at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia, and has written a great new column entitled Concentration of Power, Hitler, Mao, Obama. And I want to save the suspenseful connection of the dots for the very end, as you did, Professor Williams, in your column, beautifully written. Tell me about this Engineering Evil documentary that you saw recently on Military History Channel.
Well, it was a very interesting show, and it was pointing out, it was focusing mostly on the atrocities by the Nazis, by Hitler and Nazis during World War II, that led to the genocide of a little bit over 6 million Jews and millions of other people as well. But one of the points I was making in the piece, and I think that's the most important part of in the article, is that while people are focused on the atrocities, they're not asking the question, how in the world could Hitler have gotten the kind of power that he needed to in order to perform those atrocities?
In other words, focusing solely on the evil of the Holocaust won't get us very far toward the goal of the Jewish slogan, never again.
No, you're absolutely right, and so it was really the concentration of power at the central level that gave Hitler the power to get rid of local jurisdictions.
This was just fascinating to me because I was not aware of the Enabling Act that passed in 1933. What was its formal name?
Its formal name was a law to remedy the distress of people and the Reich.
Hmm.
Now, if you look at that, well, who can be against the law? You know, Germany wasn't really in bad shape, economically. And so if you just look at the wording of the law, it's a law to remedy the distress of the people and the Reich. Well, who can be against that? You know, what it did, it enabled Hitler to enact laws and do things with neither the involvement or approval of the parliament, the Germany's parliament.
The Reichstag, yeah. So, in other words, all local autonomy was destroyed by the Enabling Act of 1933 in Germany.
That is right, and it's similar to what's happening in the United States. I'm talking about the elimination of local autonomy. That is, the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution says all powers that are not delegated to the federal government belong to the people and states. Now, the 10th Amendment today is whittled down to it. It doesn't hardly mean anything, because if you ask, what can states do? What can Texas do without the approval and permission of Washington?
I want to welcome your phone calls for Professor Walter Williams, author of a new column, Concentration of Power, Hitler, Mao, Obama. Our phone number here on 550 KTSA is 599-5555. That's 599-5555. Looking at the raw numbers in terms of those who were able to consolidate power in the 20th century and how many of their own citizens they killed is pretty striking.
That's right. The average American doesn't know anything. That is about this. The 20th century turned out to be mankind's most brutal and barbaric century. It turns out that 50 to 60 million people were lost in war. They lost their lives in war. But that number pales in comparison to the number of people who were killed and murdered at the hands of their own government.
All right. And Soviet Union, for example, between 1917 and 1987, how many of their own citizens did the Soviet Union kill?
62 million of its own citizens.
62 million. And you contrast and compare that with Adolf Hitler having killed 16 million Jews and other people, and yet he is supposedly the bigger villain. And yet
that's right. And China under Mao. He's responsible for the deaths of 35 to 40 million people. Now, keep in mind that during the 60s and 70s, when you had these protests on college campuses around our country, these people were waving Mao's little red book. That is, Mao was the hero. If you read during the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, Stalin was the hero to President Roosevelt, even, and to many Americans.
I love what you say in your column. Professor Walter Williams, my guest from George Mason University and occasional guest host for Rush Limbaugh, he writes, "We might ask why the 20th century was so barbaric. Surely there were barbarians during earlier ages. Part of the answer is that during earlier times, there was not the kind of concentration of power that emerged during the 20th century." And you point to...
And I point out that if Stalin, Mao Zedong, and Hitler, if they had been around in earlier times, the 17th, 16th, or 18th century, they could not have engineered the slaughter of tens of millions of people. They just would not have had the authority. I point out in the column that there was a dispersion of jealously guarded political power, in the forms of heads of provincial governments, church leaders, and nobility, and others, and their power was often as strong and possibly stronger than monarchs, the king.
And this is where we get to the connection with Barack Obama. Again, your column is entitled Concentration of Power, Hitler, Mao, Obama. And you quote from the late Rudolph Rummel, a professor at the University of Hawaii, who wrote a book called Death by Government, in which he opens the first sentence with this word, this line, "Power kills. Absolute power kills absolutely. The more power a government has, the more it can act arbitrarily according to the whims and desires of the elite, and the more it will make war on others and murder its foreign and domestic subjects." What is your connect the dots moment here with Barack Obama?
Well, I'm pointing out that the people can use, the elite can use rhetoric to dupe the masses, to fool the masses, and the masses and all around the world, they're easily fooled by well-intentioned phrases. As I said in the beginning of our interview, that after all, what German during really bad times in Germany, bad economic times, what German could have been against something nice and sounding like a law to remedy the distress of the people in the Reich? Now, as I point out, now connecting a dots between Americans and Germany and Obama is that it's not just Americans. It's not just Germans who fall prey to well-intentioned phrases. After all, let's say, who in the United States can be against the following? Patient protection and affordable care.
Mm.
If I come out against it, I say, well, oh, Walter, you're against patient protection. Oh, you're against affordable care. See, people are easily duped by nice-sounding phrases.
All right, let's take some calls. Andy up first for Professor Walter Williams on 550 KTSA, the Jack Riccardi Show with Adam McManus. Hi, Andy.
Hi, good morning. Dr. Williams, I just wanted to say it's an honor to speak with you. I'm getting deja vu here. I remember listening to you on the Rush Limbaugh program.
Thank you.
About 14 to 15 years ago, and who would know that something like this can happen? And see, if I tell people, well, kind of what you're saying, connecting the dots, saying, hey, America has been duped, bamboozled, and they say, well, you're just a racist. But it's the issues, it's the principles, it's the facts.
That's right.
And I appreciate you, Dr. Carson, Tim Scott, Alan West. I mean, Herman Cain was my man, and then he dropped out. But see, I believe in those biblical and conservative principles, and I thank you very much for standing up.
Yeah. And then So I might point out to you, one of my last sentences in that column is that we ought to keep in mind that Hitler, Stalin, and Mao, they would have loved to have the kind of information and control about their citizens that agencies in our country, such as the NSA, the IRS, and the ATF, have about us. I mean, nobody would have been able to get away from Hitler's enemies. None of Hitler's enemies would have been able to survive if Hitler had had something like the NSA, the IRS, and the ATF.
Do you think that Barack Obama has evil intentions? Or are you just saying that if we don't speak up and speak out about this abrogation of the separation of powers, someone down the line, some president of the United States, might become the next Adolf Hitler?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Obama has these evil intentions. No more than I would say that Bismarck in Germany or the people who were in the Weimar Republic, they did not have the intention. No German. That's what I pointed out in the last column in the last sentence in the column. No German who died before 1930 would have believed that the Holocaust was possible. In fact, Germans were the people that had a great appreciation for liberty. That is, it's Germans, German Americans, who set up the Underground Railroad to assist escaping slaves. It was Germans who had the reputation for getting along with the Indians the best. It was Germans who gave inspiration to people like Locke and Hume that wrote these great works talking about individual freedom. And so one has asked, well, how did it happen? And so somebody might be able to say 100 years from now about the United States, how in the world did this atrocity happen in the United States?
Well, I want to encourage KTSA listeners to check out the book by Rudolf Rummel entitled Death by Government. And if they'd like to learn more, Walter Williams, about you, do you have a website?
Yeah, it's WalterEWilliams.com. And matter of fact, on my website, they can sign up to receive my occasionally mail letter.
WalterEWilliams.com. Thank you so much for your service to this country. You're a great American.
And thank you.
I'm Adam McManus, and this is 550 KTSA. Adam McManus in for Jack Riccardi until 1 o'clock. Learn more about me at my website, adammcmanus.net, MCManus.net. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Attorney General Eric Holder is proposing that gun owners wear bracelets, and without them, your firearm would not work. Clear violation, I think, of the spirit of the Second Amendment. We'll talk to Eric Pratt of Gun Owners of America. And at 11 o'clock, Terry Hall, as you've never heard her before. You know her for her opposition to tolls, but what you may not know is she's the mother of nine, a stay-at-home mom, and she'll respond to this Wall Street Journal piece, More Moms Staying Home, Reversing Decades-Long Decline. So stick around for all of that. But right now, I want to delve into the story about homosexual marriage. Former Senator Alan Simpson, a Republican, is making the case for a live and let live approach to homosexual marriage in a new television ad that is targeting Western states, just as a federal appeals court in Denver prepares to take up the issue on Thursday. The 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is weighing a gay marriage case concerning Utah on Thursday, is set to take up another one involving Oklahoma later this month. Let's listen now, cut four, to Alan Simpson.
I was raised here, Cody, Wyoming. It was a town of Western values and independence, freedom. I'm a Republican. The party's basic core is government out of your life and the right to be left alone. Whether you're gay or lesbian or straight, if you love someone and you want to marry them, marry them. I've had a wonderful married life. Why shouldn't somebody else have the joy of marriage? Live and let live. It's very simple.
Because it ain't marriage, Senator Simpson. It ain't marriage. You can call it marriage. It ain't marriage. Alan Simpson was an occasional guest of mine over the years in my 20 years of talk radio, and I remember interviewing him in person at the Republican National Convention in Philadelphia back in 2000. And he was just as liberal then as he is now. He's gotten more liberal as he's aged. He's now 82 years old. For close to 20 years, he had developed a reputation as the eminently quotable iconoclast with no qualms about taking his own party on a regular basis. Kind of reminds me of John McCain of Arizona today. Well, this 30-second ad is set to air nationally on Fox, MSNBC, and CNN, and the broadcast network Sunday morning shows. This is a Republican we can do without. He is suggesting that, homosexual men or lesbian ladies wanting to enter into some kind of contract or covenant with one another is comparable to a man and a woman, a natural-born man and a natural-born woman. You have to say these things these days because it's all gone kaflooey with the transgender and the gender identity issues. A natural-born man and a natural-born woman, that's what constitutes a marriage, a legitimate marriage. And, the Republicans think that this is what they need to do. They need to, quote-unquote, expand the tent in order to become the party of the future and in order to attract a younger demographic. Let me tell you something. The Republicans continue to implode when they not only turn their back on the social issues of concern to the conservative base, like the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage, but they actually blow up the conservative base, and they drive the conservative base away from the party. They're less likely to participate in the primary process where they are so desperately needed, and they're more likely to actually sit at home. Not just during primary voting, but during general election voting. When you abandon the principles that have defined the party, that include the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage, as well as lower taxes and less regulation and those kinds of things, you're going to continue to deliver elections to the Democrats. It's that simple in my view. What do you think? 599-5555. 599-5555. Are you sympathetic with former Senator Alan Simpson in his 30-second ad in which he endorses homosexual marriage, saying, well, I've had a wonderful married life. Why shouldn't someone else have the joy of marriage? Live and let live. It's very simple. It's actually not that simple at all, my friend. It's not that simple at all. This is about abandoning what we have understood to be marriage for thousands upon thousands of years. And, I think Alan Simpson is just drinking the Democratic Kool-Aid, to be honest. He's watching way too much MSNBC. He needs to watch a little bit more Fox News. He needs to listen to a little bit more conservative talk radio out there and understand where the heart and the soul of the Republican Party are. The people that are, for example, going to participate in this up-and-coming Tuesday, May 27th, GOP primary runoff with Lieutenant Governor candidates Dan Patrick versus David Dewhurst and Ken Paxton versus Dan Branch for the Attorney General in the Lone Star State. These people are you. These people are me. We are the Republican Party. We are the conservatives that have defined it and will continue to define it unless leaders like him, elitist, look down your nose, those that abandon what it's all about, it'll just drive the conservative base away. There is a wonderful new book. The last time I filled in for Sean Rima, couple of weeks ago, I talked about it. It's the one book that you absolutely must put on your reading list. Go to Barnes & Noble, purchase it online at Amazon.com. Get this book by Richard Viguerie, a conservative activist, perhaps the pioneer of modern-day conservative activism, Richard Viguerie. It's called Takeover. And it is a book that will give you a whole new sense of what needs to happen for us to at least politically come into our own and to take a step away from the Karl Roves, the establishment Republicans of the world. the headline, I should say the subtitle, is absolutely wonderful. It talks about the, I'm looking for it now online, it is a subtitle about the 100-year, basically, the Civil War within the Republican Party. And unless the conservatives take over the Republican Party, we're going to continue to lose national elections. The funny thing is, the centrists and the left of centrist Republicans, the establishment Republicans, those that hate the Constitution, I don't know why the Republicans, if they hate the Constitution, they should be welcomed in the Democratic Party. They are the ones that are of the opinion that this is a time to abandon principle. And I'm saying that the way you win elections, the way Ronald Reagan won in a number of landslides, two landslides back to back, is when you are socially conservative, fiscally conservative, and a conservative with foreign policy. I'm Adam McManus here on 550 KTSA.